Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew chapter 11. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1011. We'll be reading three verses. We'll read these verses in unison. Verses 28, 29, and 30. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, page 1011. And let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And let's read it together, please. Ready? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's pray. And Father, we thank you so very much for this great day. Now, many of us have been looking forward to this day. We've been looking forward to sitting here in the pews of the First Baptist Church and hearing the man of God preach. And many of us need what you have for us. We all need it. We pray that many would open their hearts and that their lives would be so affected as would please Thee. Give of Thy power in a special measure in this service, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the first rest that God offers. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. That's the second rest that God offers. Rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'm speaking on all of those words this morning, but I'm lifting out from my text part that says, learn of me. I want you to listen to me carefully this morning. I'll not be using a great deal of the tool of dynamics or even humor, but I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, how to learn of God. How to learn of God. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Father, I want to be what this great crowd needs me to be. I believe I can put it better than that, Father. I want to be what each person needs me to be. I want to be this morning what that little bus kid covering up a hole in his pants needs. I want to be what that dear senior citizen anxiously facing the sunset days needs. I want to be what that busy housewife with all the burdens of child rearing needs. I want to be what that man who's worked hard this week in the steel mill needs. I want to be what that homesick college student this morning needs. I want to be what the teenagers this morning, that teenager facing the temptations and bombardment of hell itself in so many ways, needs. O Spirit of God, take these loaves and fishes and feed the multitude today. In Jesus' name, amen. There are two rests here. Jesus said first, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the first rest. That's the rest when you come to Christ. That's the sweet, blessed rest of forgiveness. When for the first time in your life, you realize your sins are forgiven. They're beneath the blood. God remembers them no more. Every sin is cared for and every sin is covered by the precious blood of Christ. That sweet rest of being accepted in the Beloved. That sweet rest of being saved from the torments of hell. For the first time in your life, going to bed at night and realizing that if you didn't wake up the next morning, you wouldn't be burning in the fires of torment and hell. But they don't say much about it anymore, but the Bible says as much about it as it ever did. But all the rest of knowing you're on your way to heaven. Can you remember the day when for the first time in your life you said to yourself, I believe I'd go to heaven if I died. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice until its rapture's all abroad. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Oh, the rest that comes when for the first time in your life you know you're on your way to heaven. Recently, I went to the spot where I trusted Him, and I sang that song as best I could for the people there, and we joined and sang it together. As I stood in the very spot where there's a little poor, ghetto-bound kid, I looked up and said, just outside the back door of the church, "Dear Jesus, if you'd take a poor little ghetto-bound boy whose dad's an alcoholic and forgive him and save him, I'll take you as my Savior." It was there when I received Him, and it was there when the first time... You know why I didn't get saved? One reason is I was afraid to get baptized. I knew I had to get baptized, not to get saved, but to be obedient after I saved. And I was afraid of water. I still am. I never drank any water at all. But I was afraid of water. But that's another reason I didn't get saved for a while, though I was the kind of kid that they expected to get saved when you're 6 years old. But I didn't get saved until I was almost 11. You know why? Because I hated my daddy. I used to say to him while he'd hit my mama, "I'd like to kill him." I've seen him take his big old fist and hit my mama in the mouth and knock a tooth out. And I've cowered in the corner of the room. And I've said, "Someday I'm going to grow up and get me a job, and I'm going to make some money, and I'm going to make a queen out of that woman." As I've said so often, I did grow up, I did get a job, I did make a little money. But I found I couldn't make a queen out of her because she was already a queen. I just bought a crown and put it on her head. That's all. But I can remember I used to say to myself, "I'd like to kill that man. When I get older, I'm going to do it." I'd go to church and my preacher would say, "You're supposed to love your enemies." And I said, "I don't love daddy. I hate my daddy, what he's done to my mama." And I can't tell you how the burden was lifted. Just as much as if I'd been an alcoholic and been 30 years of age. And all of a sudden, I realized that God had forgiven me for hating my daddy. "Come unto me, all ye bus kids that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me, all you poor, poverty-stricken, ghetto-bound people who are burdened and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come unto me, all you people in the taverns last night, and all the sinners, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me, young and old and rich and poor and high and low and mighty and weak. Come unto me, everybody can come and I'll give you rest. Your sins will be forgiven on your way to heaven." There's a second rest I want to talk to you about this morning, which is the main rest I want to talk to you about. And that rest is what I call getting to know God. The rest of getting to know God. It says, "Come unto you, all you labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." How do you learn of Him? Taking His yoke upon you. That's what He says. It's very plain there. That rest of getting to know God. I mean this when I say this. I want to know God. I don't mean I just want Him as my Savior. I want to know Him. You know, I took a flight the other day on an airplane, and for the first time, is Ray Newton up there this morning? PA men, I hate to interrupt. Is Ray Newton up there this morning? Yeah, he's up there. He is. Ray has been a pilot for 113 years for United Airlines. And, of course, I fly every week of my life. And I often wondered why I didn't get to fly with Ray Newton. But one day I was flying to Dallas, Texas. Looked up there and on a sign outside the cockpit, it said, "Pilot Ray Newton." But Ray Newton flies for United Airlines. I did not know that day. I'd forgotten I was on American Airlines. So, obviously, American Airlines has a Ray Newton, too. But I didn't think about that. All I knew was I was on an airplane, and that's Ray Newton. I've always looked forward to flying with Ray. And so about halfway to Dallas, I thought I was going to play a trick on old Ray Newton. I did. I went up to the door to the cockpit, grabbed the door, put my hand in my pocket like that. I shut the door open, and I said, "This is a stick-up!" But Ray Newton wasn't up there, folks. It was a different Ray Newton, a different airlines. I brought the greatest message of my life then. I preached the greatest sermon I've ever preached. I mean, you'd be amazed how eloquent I was trying to get out of trouble. And I did. But the other day I was flying to San Diego to preach. And the stewardess said on behalf of Captain Newton, I was on United Airlines, on behalf of Captain Newton and the entire flight crew, we thank you for flying United today. And a real warm peace came in my soul. That's one of the finest men and one of the finest couples you'll ever meet. And all of a sudden I realized, I know my captain. I know my captain. I know him. He's my friend. He's my pilot. And he's my friend. 50 years ago, I got on board Heaven's airplane, trusted the pilot. I'm glad I know him. I was thinking a while ago. I cannot think of Joe Boyd without thinking of this. I was in the service when Joe Boyd started to preach the gospel of Christ. You could not believe the joy of that entire Christian neighborhood in our little area called Trinity Heights. When our church rejoiced because the favorite son of our church was Joe Boyd. All-American football player. Number one tackle in the Associated Press football team, 1913. And in fact, he was invited to the White House by President Lincoln. But you couldn't believe how we felt. And I never forget that morning. Little old kid, I was weighing 92 pounds, just a kid of a boy. And my hero surrendered his life to preach the gospel. I couldn't tell you. Joe probably doesn't know this, but the night that I surrendered to preach, he was sitting behind me. And I was almost too timid to walk the aisle that night because nobody would care much about little Jackie Boy Hiles. But I'll never forget Joe Boyd. He was my hero several years ago. By the way, the night after I surrendered to preach, I went back to our little place where we lived and got on my knees on the front steps. And I said these words to God, almost to this, probably word for word. I said, "Dear God, I can't give you a strong body like Joe Boyd can. I can't give you a handsome countenance like he can. And I can't give you fame, a famous person in life like he can. But I said I can give you as much of Jack Hiles as he can give you of Joe Boyd." And I gave it to him that night. Several years ago, I was celebrating my birthday. I think it may have been 6-7 years ago. I think my 55th birthday or so. And I'd gotten over 3,000 greetings that day from people across the church and the area and around the world. People who love me and care for me and thank God for all of you and all of them. It was late at night. About 11 o'clock, I'd counseled way into the evening. Late at night, I walked out of the office, took my coat off, and draped it over my shoulder. The security guard came up, and he said, "Brother Hiles," he said, "there's another telegram came for you didn't get." And I opened it late at night on my birthday and read it, and this is what it said. "To my hero in the ministry, signed, Joe Boyd." And I said, "I'm a hero's hero." You couldn't get that anywhere else in the world except from Jesus. I want more than the rest he gives from salvation. I want this soul rest that I want to talk to you about for a while. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, the question comes, learn of me. How may I get to know him? I know him as my pilot. Now, I want to know him that my pilot is my friend. You know, you can be saved and not know Jesus. You can't be saved and not trust him. I've flown airlines all across this nation, and only one time have I ever known the pilot. But it's a wonderful thing when you know the pilot. So the Lord Jesus says here, "Come unto me, and I'll give you rest." What? The rest of salvation. What? The rest of forgiveness. What? The rest of acceptance. What? The rest of salvation from hell.
What? The rest of going to heaven. What? The rest of knowing your name is written in heaven. I'll give you rest. But, he said, as the Hebrews, Paul said in Hebrews, there remaineth a second rest. Another rest. And the other rest is the rest not only of trusting him to take you to heaven, as you trust a pilot to take you to the destination, but getting to know him personally. How do we do it? How do we get to know him? Okay, it says, take my yoke upon me and on you and learn of me. Let me illustrate. And this is as near as I can explain this passage. Uncle Roy, my mother's favorite brother, was a farmer. In the summertime, almost every summer, I'd go down and spend a few weeks at Uncle Roy. Uncle Roy, on his farm, had two old workhorses. I think probably they now are in some bottle of glue somewhere, but two old workhorses, and they belonged to Uncle Roy. Now listen carefully to me. Listen carefully. They didn't know a thing about Uncle Roy. Suppose I'd have said those workhorses one summer, I want to teach you about Uncle Roy. I got a book of Uncle Roy's life, so you two workhorses come here, and we're going to have a study course. I'm going to teach you about Uncle Roy. You think that those horses could learn about Uncle Roy that way? You probably do. No. Well, suppose I said those horses one day. I said, hey, I've got a videotape I want to show you. It's a tape of Uncle Roy's life. I want you to see it. So I get a videotape, and I get a screen put out there in the barn. And you think those horses could learn about... Oh. Well, suppose I said, I'll bring Uncle Roy out here, and I'll have him give his testimony to you horses, and you'll get to know about his life. He'd give his life story. No. May I tell you how they learned about Uncle Roy? Out in a room in the barn was a set of harnesses. Uncle Roy would reach up and get those harnesses, and these two old workhorses would submit themselves to the harnesses. And the harnesses were hooked to the plow. And the horses learned more about Uncle Roy in 5 minutes than they could in 5 years outside those harnesses. He'd tug, they'd learn what he wanted. He'd pull back, they'd learn what he wanted. He might use a little whip. They'd learn what they wanted. How did they learn about Uncle Roy? They learned about Uncle Roy by studying. You know, these so-called deeper lifers are wrong. You don't learn about God by studying about God. You don't learn about God because you go to a Bible conference about God. You learn about God when you get in the yoke and go to work with God. That's the way you learn about God. These horses were in the harness. Horses in the harness. As these horses were in the harness. My old Texas accent's bothering me right now. They got in the harness. Well, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Uncle Roy, they yielded to him. And they worked. And he worked through them. And those old workhorses got to know about Uncle Roy. You know, please don't misunderstand me. I have not yet apprehended, and I've not yet arrived. But don't think I'm being too super spiritual when I say this. But I do know him some. I really do. I wasn't a white stallion like Joe Boyd was. I wasn't a Kentucky Derby winner like Joe Boyd was. If I hadn't been hooked up to a plow, I'd have probably pulled an ice cream wagon or an old-fashioned milk wagon. I was just old workhorse is all I was. But one day I submitted myself to his yoke and I said, wherever he leads, I'll go. And I said, you just tug. And he knows this is true. True right now. You just tugged. And I learned about him. That's the way you learn about him. You don't gather around the word and learn about him. You get in the harness and learn about him. Listen, there's more difference in your mentality in God's than there is old horses and Uncle Roy's. and you haven't got any more ability in your own flesh and your own mental capacity to learn about God than those horses did of learning about a Roy. The way you learn God is to serve God. You get in the harness. You get your bus route. You get your Sunday school class. You preach on a street corner. You go soul winning and get in the harness and say, God, you pull and I'll turn. You whip and I'll go. You pull back, I'll stop. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You want to learn of me? You want to learn about me? Read that book called The World's Largest Sunday School. Half of that's my biography up until I was about 50 years old. 45, 50. You won't learn of me. You want to know how to learn of me? Follow me around everywhere I go. Study me. You won't learn of me. You want to learn of me? Talk to my sister. Second thought, don't talk to my sister. But you won't learn of me. You want to learn of me? Talk to him. 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 Talk to these fellows up here. They know me. How'd they learn of me? We work together. We work together. They know me. They know me when the offering's up. They know me when the offering's down. They know me when the victories are coming easily, and they know me when the defeats are hard to miss. They know me when we had 125,000 in Sunday school. They know me on Christmas Sunday, and just a few hundred maybe show up. They know me when the battles are all won. They know me when the battle is raging. They know me. They know me. Why they know me? Because we work together. We're in the same yoke. If you want to get to know God, don't go to some monastery somewhere and live with the monks. You won't get to know Him that way. Don't go from Bible conference to Bible conference and try to find out what the preacher says about Him. You won't learn and know Him that way. Don't go from one charismatic conference to another. You won't get to know Him that way. You take His yoke upon you. You get busy for God. You be a soul winner. You build a bus route. You build a Sunday school class. Get in the yoke and say, I'll serve Him. God worked through me. And that's the way you get to know God. Learn of me. That's the and by the way, that's the rest. That'll take care of your psychological problem. I can't even pronounce it, much less have one. That'll take care of that. That'll take care of your bitterness. That'll take care of your pessimism. That'll take care of your depression. That'll take care of your sadness. That'll take care of your self-pity. It's the second rest. Come unto me. Are you unsaved? Is your name not written in heaven? Are you bent beneath the load of your sin? Are you afraid if you died now, you'd go to hell? Do you wish you could go to heaven when you died? Do you wish your name could be written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Come unto me, says God. And I'll give you the rest of salvation, the rest of justification, the rest of forgiveness, the rest of assurance that you're God's child. But He said, don't go yet. Have you come to me and gotten that first rest? He said, there remaineth a second rest. What is that second rest? To know Him. How do you get to know Him? Let Him work through you. Seldom a sermon I preach without mentioning Dr. John Rice. Greatest Christian I've ever met in my life. Dr. John R. Rice. I'll fight for him in a second. Well, I used to would. I'll argue now. But I remember years ago, I got to know him as an acquaintance. And then one day we began to travel together. For 22 years we traveled. Same yoke. I'll never forget that day he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, son, oh, I'll never forget that. Son, he said, I believe that God has given you somewhat the same burden for America that God has given me. He said, I believe that God has placed us in this business as a team. do what we can to destroy the preachers and churches of America. And for 22 years, we were in the same yoke. We prayed together. We preached together. We lifted this country on our shoulders together. We tried to stem the tide of new evangelicalism together. We tried to launch soul winning in the churches of America together. I got to know him personally. When I got out of the Army, after World War II was over, and this is something I rarely ever tell, and I ought to tell it more because in some ways I'm unfair to my father, and I want to, and maybe many of you never heard what I'm going to say right now. I couldn't find a job. Well, I was married, and we had to have a place to live, had to have an apartment or something. We had to pay for the bills, and I couldn't find a job. Well, my dad was an oak floor layer, back in the days when you laid it with a hammer and nails, just casing eight nails, eight casing nails, and you laid it, just bend over, just laid it like that. And I went to Dad, and I said, "Dad, do you need any help?" He said, "Son, I'll make room for you." So I started laying oak floor. Now say this. My dad never had any time for me. Daddy always called me Mama's boy. And that's true. I was Mama's boy. Because I was Mama's boy, Daddy was an alcoholic. Daddy always thought I was a sissy. And I am not. But Daddy always thought I was a sissy. And Daddy said, "Son, I don't believe you could do this. Lay oak floor. I don't think you're man enough." "Well, I've been a paratrooper." I said, "You see, I'm man enough. I've got to make a living. I've got to make some money." And so I went to work. The first day I worked, it was 109 degrees. 109. Then the sun came up. 109 degrees. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I had 40 blisters on my one hand already. I was tired in my life. Every time I'd lay a piece of floor, the wall would move back another 6 inches. I thought I'd never get that wall over there. And I remember my daddy came over and he got sat down beside me and he said, "Son, I don't think you can do it." And I said, "You don't think I can do it? I'll die before I won't do it." I said, "I'll guarantee you I'll be the best floor layer in Dallas County. You wait and see." And for 18 months, my daddy and I formed a team. It's a part of my life I probably am unjust in not mentioning more. Daddy got to know me. He got proud of me. I almost went into Christ because of that, because he got proud of me. I did become the best oak floor layer in Dallas County. And my daddy used to tell people, "My son is the best oak floor layer in Dallas County." But I want to say this, and this is what I mean to say. I'd only seen my daddy hit my mama. I'd only seen him come in drunk at night and curse and swear. I'd only seen him drink up everything we had to pay rent with and buy food with. But we worked together for 18 months. And I got to know him. I saw him when he wasn't drunk. I never had done that much before. Earlene saw him years before when he didn't drink like he did when I came along. In fact, it was my coming along that turned him to drink. It was Earlene staying that turned him to drink. But I got to know him. And Earlene, you know what I found out? I found our daddy was generous. I never knew that before. I found our daddy was fun. I never knew that before. You know why I got to know him? We worked together. That's the way you get to know Jesus. You take his yoke upon you. And let him work through you and you work for Him and with Him. When He tugs, you obey His tug, and you shall find rest unto your souls. I have every reason this morning not to have rest. I have every reason, as with all the loads that I carry, I have every reason this morning not to have peace. But I have it. You know how I got it? I got to know Him. You know how I got to know Him? I took His yoke upon me. And in taking His yoke upon me, I learned of Him. This is old hat to you, but I do it every day. 7 times a day. 7 times a day, I get on my knees and pray this prayer. 6 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, noon, 3 in the afternoon, 6 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, or as near as when I get home preaching, before I go to bed at night, 7 times a day I pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to You. And I pray You'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if He walked in my shoes today. What do I do 7 times a day? Submit myself and say, put the yoke on me. Put the yoke on me. I work with Him. I work for Him. We work together. His yoke is upon me. And I know Him. And I love Him. And He's wonderful. Our Heavenly Father.